Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Inside the GMHL podcast. As always, I am your host, JR, and thank you for tuning in once more. This is it. This is the last Inside the GMHL podcast before the National Championship. In fact, the day that it will be posted, March 30th, is the exact day that the National Championship starts. We're going to have two games tonight, technically, considering it's now March 30th, most of you will be listening to. Tonight, we're going to be starting off the National Championship with the High Prairie Red Wings and the Temiskaming Titans in the evening game, and then the Bradford Rattlers and the North York Renegades in the afternoon game at 5 p.m. But we are close to the National Championship. On this podcast, I'm going to go over how each team got there, why each team will and won't win the GMHL Russell Cup this season at the National Championship, and we're also going to be joined by GMHL President Bob Russell as we discuss the National Championship, the growth of the league, and exactly what he expects from each of the franchises. For the first time, we are not going to be starting off the podcast by going over the statistical leaders in the standings because we already know what happened. We know that the four teams in the National Championship are the North Division winning Bradford Rattlers, the South Division winning North York Renegades, the West Division winning High Prairie Red Wings, and then the host, Temiskaming Titans. And so I'm going to go over each of the teams, how they got there, why they will win, and why they won't win the GMHL Russell Cup. And so starting off with the Bradford Rattlers, they did end up in the playoffs with a first-round bye due to being the best team in the North Division record-wise. They swept the Temiskaming Titans in the second round, and then they beat the Pirates 3-1 in the North Division Finals. It should be noted that the Rattlers were the only team that won their division that took a loss in the playoffs. And so why will the Bradford Rattlers win the National Championship? Well, they were the best team in the regular season. They might be the deepest team in the league. They have top-end players that can score. We're talking players like Levitsky, Erickson, Rodin, Musi, Trofimov. I mean, all over the roster is littered with talent that can score. They have great defensemen, and I'd say arguably the gem of the trade deadline, other than maybe Darius Manny from the North York Renegades, was Danila Filipov of the Bradford Rattlers. He has been a stud this season, and he's just leading a group that might be the deepest in the entire league. McCarthy, Suda, Baxter, Filipov, DiTomaso, just a loaded group on the back end. And then in net, they have a goaltending duo that might be the most talented in the league. And so all season long, it's been Oliver Balazs in net. He has been the goaltender of the year in the North Division. Balazs played to a great record statistically this season and was awarded so at the GMHL Awards. But Maxim Ivanov may be just as talented as Oliver Balazs. You know, they are both 2004-born goalies. Ivanov has won championships in Russia with his U16 and U17 teams. One of those teams featured NHL draft prospect and potential future superstar Matvei Mishkov. And so both of these goaltenders are set and ready to go and could be willing to enter the net at any given night and get a win for the Rattlers. Coach David Mooney and his staff, we're talking Alex Brisson, Grishetov, Rapley, they have the team firing on all cylinders. And so that's why I think that the Rattlers could win the GMHL Russell Cup this season. Now on the flip side of it, I said it at the beginning of the podcast, I'm going to say why each team will and won't win the Russell Cup. Is there such a thing as too much talent? If so, the Rattlers may be a victim to this. They were shown that they can be beat in the North Division Finals by the Villemarie Pirates. They were taken to overtime by the Titans in the North Semifinals, and the Titans are also competing in the National Championship. And if you add in the fact that the Rattlers have seen multiple suspensions in their two rounds of playoffs, can they keep it together when it matters most? You know, they had one of their best players come back during playoffs, that's Hunter Godmere. Is that going to affect the team chemistry as they head into the National Championship? I know that they took a little bit of time against Villemarie to kind of figure out lines and see exactly what they were going to do. Will they be able to keep it together when it matters most? And then who of the two-star goaltenders starts in the championship game if they make it? You obviously have to make a decision. I don't think that either decision is a bad one. But is one of them going to be the right one and one of them going to be the wrong one? You know, those are all things to factor in when thinking about why the Rattlers might not win the Russell Cup this year. Next up, we're going to be taking a look at the South Division winning North York Renegades. And so how did the North York Renegades make it to the National Championship? Well, they went undefeated through the South Division playoffs. They had a first-round sweep of Streetsville. a second-round sweep of the Predators, and then a self-final division sweep of the Bradford Bulls. And so why will the Renegades win a Russell Cup? Coach Daryl Lloyd has the team buying into a system. They're all bought in, and they are going. They're led by South Division top forward Ryan Fritz and Joseph Leonti. They can score with the best of them, and they've shown that. But what they showed even more impressively in the South Division Finals is that they can shut down top scoring options like Ryan Hunter of the Bulls like they did, of which they're going to be matched up with several as Levitsky, Hardy, Keegan Ferguson await them at the national championship. Deadline acquisition Manny has been awesome on the back end, especially in the playoffs. It has been a treat to watch him, and him alongside Jedi Somersall and standout young D-man Nico Andropoulos have that back end looking very strong. In net, Nicholas Lewicki finally got the monkey off his back from last year, where he lost in a shootout in the South Division Finals of Game 7, and he started and won all games against the Bulls. And so for all those reasons and the players that they have, that's why the North York Renegades will win the Russell Cup. Why will the North York Renegades not win the Russell Cup? Well, will the Renegades be the latest team to make it to the finals from the South, only to face defeat at the hands of a North Division team? You know, they only played two games against the North this season. Both of them were at the Showcase. They lost 8-2 to the Pirates and 7-3 to the Rattlers. The Rattlers, of course, are one of the teams in the national championship. Will this talented team be able to compete and take home the crucial wins in the round-robin stage against the North Division teams, Bradford and Temiskaming, as well as the West Division team, High Prairie, to earn a place in that national championship? Is having a team buy into the system enough to overcome what may be tougher teams to face in the round-robin stage? Next up, we have the High Prairie Red Wings. How did they get here? Well, they had a first-round bye in the Alberta Division. Then they swept Slave Lake, swept Edson in the Alberta Final before sweeping McKenzie from BC in the Western Finals. And why will High Prairie win the Russell Cup? Well, they got a chance to establish themselves as a true dynasty. So not only in the GMHL West, where they won three straight division titles, but also in the entirety of the league, with the first chance for the West to compete against the North and the South in the national championship. They certainly don't lack any firepower. They are the only team in the national championship with two of the top 10 scoring leaders in the league by way of Keegan Ferguson and Ethan Manybears. Add in league-leading school scorer Caden Cardinal, who was acquired by the team from Slave Lake, and the Red Wings come to the tournament with the intention of filling the net. Avery McNabb is leading a talented back end, and they have not one but two goaltenders who were mentioned in the GMHL Awards for the top goaltender, Bradley Ronson, who won the award, and Dawson Halitsky. They have statistically the best duo at the tournament. For all those reasons, that's why they will win the national championship. Why won't the High Prairie Red Wings win the national championship? Well, will the first taste of interdivision action expose the Red Wings as a team that's had the benefit of playing against less established competition? You know, do they have enough pieces on the back end to handle two forwards of the year in the tournament with Levitsky and Fritz, as well as countless veterans that are scattered across the other three rosters? Will the travel coming off of playing the day before the tournament be a factor in how well prepared they are to start the tournament against the host team, the Temiskaming Titans? All those could factor in and be reasons why the High Prairie Red Wings will not win the Russell Cup. Lastly, we have the host Temiskaming Titans. And so how did the Titans get here? Well, in the playoffs, they had a first-round sweep of the West Nipissing Lynx, but then were swept by the Rattlers in the North Division semifinals, so they qualified for the tournament through their host bid. Why will the Titans win the GMHL National Championship? Well, despite any of the challenges the team had this season, the Titans are still the defending Russell Cup champions, and they have the chance to defend their championship at the first national championship in front of their home fans on their home ice. They'll be going into the tournament with a well-rested and practiced squad that's expected to be a full lineup for the first time in a long time, with the exception of Ivan Kozlenko, who's going to be representing his national team back home. So they showed in round two that they have the ability to play with at least the North Division champion Bradford Rattlers. In a tournament format like this, with a one-game championship, Le Centre could be the driving force that propels the boys in blue back to a championship. Why will the Temiskaming Titans not win the Russell Cup this season? Well, aside from being the host this season, the Titans do not look the part of a team that deserves to be in the national championship. They lost more times than they won this season, and despite some tight games in the playoffs, the team still scored the least and was scored on the most of any of the four teams in the national championship. While they did have to deal with extended absences from top players for a variety of reasons, Will the Titans be able to overcome this season and raise the cup? There's doubts. And so you can keep up with the GMHL National Championship. The games will be live streamed as well. If you have the opportunity to get out to Le Centre in Témiscaming, I highly recommend you do. That place is going to be electric. But for now, we're going to head over to our interview with League President Bob Russell as we talk about the National Championship. We are here with another guest for the Inside the GMHL podcast. This is the last GMHL podcast before the national championship, and we have a very special guest. Please help me welcome League President Bob Russell.
Thanks, Chair. Nice to be here with you.
Bob, how's it going today? How has the season been going for you so far this year?
Well, the season's been outstanding. There's a lot of parity at the top of both divisions out east here. And out west, the division's getting a little bit stronger each year. Mm-hmm. And there is one fairly strong team out there right now.
And, you know, speaking of strong teams out west, I mean, I can only assume you're talking about High Prairie coming off three straight division championships.
Yeah.
They're actually the team that's going to be coming to Quebec to compete for the national championship this weekend.
Yeah, they've got a good owner, Kevin Hoppner. He's really provides a stable environment there for all the players, and it's traditional Tier 2 team. It looks like when I've watched them, they up and down, puck in, good power play, they hit you. They're a good team.
Yeah, they're going to be coming in. They're going to be playing their game, and they're going to be looking to compete just as well as the other three teams at the national championship this weekend. Yeah,
I think so. They're a much younger league out there, obviously. Our league's been around out east here for 18 years now, so they're young. They'll do well, and I hope they have as good a shot at winning this thing as anyone else.
Mm-hmm. And now you mentioned that the league's been around for 18 years so far, and so personally, I do know the starting of the league. I know that you guys had the Thornhill Rattlers in the OJHL. At the time, it was the OPJHL.
Absolutely.
And then at that time, Hockey Canada was starting to impose the restrictions on the imports. Is that correct?
Well, it is correct. It happened a couple of years before that.
Mm-hmm.
Our concern at the time is we were training athletes, hockey athletes, year-round, and we had many players from Europe, Russia, Sweden, Czech Republic, everywhere.
Yep.
It really did affect how we ran our business. And speaking with other like-minded prospective owners, they decided along with us that we should start up very similar to the old Metro Junior A League that I actually had the privilege of playing in when I was a teenager. And I had a lot of support that very first year. And fortunately, I believe seven teams started and seven teams finished, and all seven started the following year.
Mm-hmm.
That was so important at the start of our league, at this business here, to establish itself earlier on. It was a good experience.
I mean, and you had already been establishing yourselves with the Rattlers program up to that point, you know, like you mentioned, having worldwide players come in and, you know, do like high level training in terms of, you know, what can they do on and off the ice and what can you guys provide? And I don't want to use such a grand term as salvation. I mean, but realistically, when you guys decided to start the GMHL, that was a saving grace in terms of allowing those players to continue to have that opportunity to come over here and develop.
It helped, yes, Gerard, it helped a lot of kids in some countries. For example, there are some countries that don't have rinks open in the summertime.
Mm-hmm.
And or you might go to a city like Moscow where they might only have four rinks open in the summer. So the ice isn't as accessible as it is here.
Mm-hmm.
And over here, we had a lot of kids that finished Tier 2 hockey at 20 years of age. And they had no scholarship. They had no chance to go to Div 3. And I think what we provided is another season for our North American players, too, to establish themselves, get a bit better, and maybe open the eyes of Div 3 coaches. And that has happened. We've had well over 200 players go to Div 3 here over the 18 years, and we're pretty happy about that.
And you see it year after year. I mean, players from almost every single franchise in the league going down to the States to school, you know, advancing to professional levels all over the world as well. I mean, if the GMHL wanted to establish itself as, you know, a league that really puts development at the forefront, you could say that that's been established over the last 18 years.
I think so. I mean, that's how, that was our mandate, mm-hmm. to try to establish a league that would dedicate itself to training athletes to get to the next level and give them other opportunities they might not have had in Hockey Canada. And I'm not criticizing Hockey Canada at all. I think it's the best hockey institution in the world. No. But I do know that we had something that they might not have at this point, and it's helped a lot of our athletes.
Now, you mentioned the first couple of years in the GMHL, specifically having those seven teams that were founded, you know, finish off that season. One of those teams, if I'm not mistaken, was the Bradford Rattlers.
Yes.
And then I was just doing a little bit of research, and even though they were the Royals at the time, in the second season, Temiskaming came in. And so this weekend in the National Championship, you essentially have two of the original teams that came in within those first 2 years in the league. I mean,
yes.
That's got to feel good to see, you know, the communities after so long still be such supported and, you know, still able to house a junior hockey team that's competing for a national championship now.
Absolutely. JR, if you've been to a Bradford game, now we're getting crowds, which took us a few years to mm-hmm. establish that. The Bulls do very well in the same town. And up in Temiskaming, they've always brought in good crowds.
Oh, yeah.
Especially in the playoffs. That building will be exciting to be in this weekend, I'm sure. And through the week when they have the preliminary games.
I've been in the league since, you know, 2013, and I've been seeing crowds in Temiskaming as long as I can remember. And I don't think that realistically there could have been another choice for the first national championship. I mean, they're going to be doing it properly. You know, they had the opportunity a few years back to have the All-Star game, and they did that right as well. And so, you know, they've been given opportunities before to hold league-wide events.
Yep.
And, you know, the national championship should be no different. I'm expecting an elite level from the Temiskaming franchise and what they're doing for as the host for this weekend.
Well, Pascal LaBranche, he's the owner there, mm-hmm. and he's a class act. He runs his businesses that way. And I think you're right, JR. I think that was the one location that we had to run it this year.
Mm-hmm.
And we were glad that Pascal embraced that opportunity, and I'm sure it's going to be outstanding.
I honestly can't wait. And now talking about the national championship more, I had listened to a podcast that you were on back in 2020, and that was around the time when we were first starting to, you know, see the league grow out west. And so there were a few teams out west, and they were competing. But even at that time, a few years back, you had mentioned national championship. That was something that you had already envisioned, was having these teams come together at some point and compete for a national championship in the GMHL. How's it feel to now be seeing that come true?
Oh, very satisfying, JR. I thought it would bring our league together mm-hmm. in a more national way, obviously. And I know some of these kids from out west that are coming out here, even for the All-Star game. There mm-hmm. were five or six of them that had never been on a plane before. A few of them had never been out of their town before, except for the games they're playing. And we're pretty excited about this. And yeah, I've wanted to run something like this for years now. The problem possibly earlier on was the expense of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty expensive to run a national championship and fly out, you know, a whole team and staff of players. But fortunately, the owners in the league, they agreed with us, and here we are.
And, you know, if you don't mind me asking about that, I mean, I know, you know, at the beginning of the seasons, I know that, you know, the teams kind of put in fund in for championship rings. Is that kind of the same way it would work with the national championship? Is the teams would, you know, can each contribute in order to have the Western team be able to come out?
That's right. And significant amount of money. Each team does put in money for rings for mm-hmm. the championship team. And as well, each team puts in money for the national championship. The team that has to travel has to put in the most, obviously, but our team thought it was worthwhile. And how we're going to run that every year is, depending on the size of the league, it'll be out east probably two seasons,
mm-hmm.
north and south, then it'll go out west, and then do that jaunt again.
And that'll be a really cool opportunity for some of the players here in Ontario and Quebec, too, that maybe haven't had the opportunity to go out west. Because, you know, even seeing the players, like you said, you know, the five, six, seven players coming for the All-Star game, they're so thankful for you guys for the opportunity just to be able to, you know, to leave their province, to come to Ontario and have this opportunity. And so, you know, should you decide to rotate the national championship as well, that's going to give that opportunity to different players all around the league.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Even the kids from the east, if they get a chance to go out west, you're right. They'll very much enjoy it. And some of these towns out west are hockey towns. High Prairie, not a big population. I'm not sure what the population is, but they get a lot of people to their games.
Nope.
And it's traditional Tier 2 hockey, as I remember it 30, 40 years ago, when you'd even a Junior B game, you'd get 1,000 people to a game.
Yeah.
Where some of these smaller towns actually support their teams just like that. Where in the bigger cities, it's a little harder market nowadays with major junior teams and NHL teams. It's a little bit more difficult for them.
I mean, but if anybody's had the experience of, you know, being out west and, you know, seeing the communities, you know, whether it be big or small, I mean, having played for the Edmonton Oilers back in the WHA, I mean, you had that opportunity. You were out there for years.
Yes.
And you got to see, you know, the sense of community out west.
I did, and at that time it was a smaller population. I think at that time 600,000 people, but they were still strong enough to support a pro team. Mm-hmm. And they had lots of support, and they still do, even for their football program. The team used to be called the Eskimos. Now, yep. What is it?
It's the Elks now.
Yeah, you go to any of their sporting events, and they get big crowds throughout Edmonton. A lot of the western cities are like this. Mm-hmm. And they have very strong rivalries between one another. I know when I played out there, when we played Calgary, it was pretty exciting for the fans, and not as exciting for the players, because it wasn't like Toronto and Montreal where people get really excited, even the players did. I think between Edmonton and Calgary, it was a little meaner.
Yeah.
And it wasn't as much fun. It was a grudge match. And I think it still hangs in there today, where they still have that little bit of rift between the two teams.
Well, and I think that we see a microcosm of that here in the GMHL, especially between Ville-Marie and Temiskaming. I mean,
absolutely.
Ville-Marie and Temiskaming, yeah. The Battle of Bradford. I know that Temiskaming and Bradford themselves have, yes, had a rivalry for a long time. Yeah. I mean, there's longstanding rivalries here in the GMHL that feel like you're going to battle with your teammates.
There is. Temiskaming and Ville-Marie is the best example of that. Bradford Bulls and Bradford Rattlers, they have real good games with one another. And I remember years where, I think last year, the year before, Rattlers were up 3-0. Bulls, yep, came back and won the series. So this is good rivalries.
Absolutely. And so yourself, you actually played Major Junior, and not only just played Major Junior, you were the captain of the Sudbury Wolves.
Yes.
And so you played junior hockey. I mean, you had the chance to play professional hockey. As far as I know, at least one of your sons also played junior hockey as well.
Yes, both of my sons.
Both of your sons played junior hockey. And so you've had hockey in your blood for as long as you can remember at this point.
Absolutely. My whole life, since I was 8 years old, I've never really been out of the game. I've always enjoyed it. It's a privilege to be in this business, and to earn a living at it is even more special, and I've enjoyed every step along the way.
Well, and that's what I was going to ask next is, you know, when did you officially make the decision, or, you know, at what time did you know that you wanted to go into the business of hockey rather than playing hockey and supporting in hockey and coaching hockey? When did you know that, yeah, this is a business and this is what I want to do with my life?
All along.
Yep.
When I left Edmonton, I signed with Leafs. We had one rookie game against the Chicago team. Mm-hmm. And that's when, back then, the contracts weren't what they are now.
Yeah.
I had what's called a two-way contract, and in my second way, it was only $18,000. So I had to get a job. But all along, I was thinking, you know, how do I stay in this industry? Mm-hmm. And I got involved with a company running tournaments and going out on the ice and doing clinics with other pro players. And I stayed involved all the way through. And these little opportunities came along the way, you know, and that's how it happened. I've never really been away from it, and I've enjoyed every step. But at a young age, it was the adult hockey market.
Mm-hmm.
When I was in my late 20s and early 30s, it was the adult hockey market where I was involved in as a business.
Maybe an overlooked market for some. I mean, at least at that time, I'm sure. I mean, you know, obviously people want to see, you know, the next great one start to develop from their young,
yeah,
age. I mean, but best example is the GMHL. We give the opportunity for an extra year of players, but what happens a few years down the road for that? You know, once they're 25, 26, into their 30s and 40s, you know, and they still want to be involved in the game, you know, who's looking out for that market? And it sounds,
that's
like,
right,
you really had the opportunity to catch that lightning in a bottle there.
We did. What had happened is ice came available in Scarborough,
mm-hmm,
and I was interested in starting a new adult league at the time. And I did, and it was called Adult Safe Hockey Leagues, and I think I was involved with that league for about 8 or 9 years, and it became the largest league in the world. We had 23,000 members in our league, and
just a small league then. Yeah, just a small 23,000 league.
It started small, but it grew, and then a company out west called Canland Investment Corporation, who is now Can Ice, brought me in with them. My league was incorporated into their business.
Yep.
Because they were in a much better position to put us in many rinks all over North America. And that's what's happened to this. At this stage, I think there's around 30, 40,000 players playing in that league now. And it's nice to see it working well.
Yeah, you got to watch it grow, and you got to watch your work actually do that.
Yeah.
Now, Bob, you're also the president of the Bradford Rattlers.
Yes.
And for the first time in about, I think, 10 years, they're going to be competing for the Russell Cup this year, you know, the cup that has your name on it. I mean, how proud does it make you as the president of the team?
Of course, I'm proud of the Rattlers team this year. More important to me is the league.
Yep.
And this year, I went to four Rattlers games.
Yep.
I don't show any more, I guess, dedication to that team than I do the rest of the league, because it really... I want a strong league, and I hope we lead by example with our Rattlers franchise, because they've been a good team for many years. But Sean Worth does a good job, and his whole staff, yourself, JR, and everyone who's involved really does the job. I'm really not that much involved with it at this stage anymore, but I am proud that they've done a decent job with that team over the last several years.
Well, and another thing that you can be proud of in the league, and I was just looking over the course of the league, aside from a few of the teams out west, and then also, you know, Streetsville, basically every team that we have in the league right now has been established in the league for multiple years. And so you're seeing the teams that are putting in the work, they're doing the proper things, and, you know, that's got to come from the top down in terms of guidance as well. And so that's got to make you happy, watching the league grow and succeed where they already are.
It does. Even a town like Sturgeon Falls, look at them. They've been around right from the start.
Yep.
New owners now, good owners, established themselves in the community. They have a good, strong organization, and they were here right off the bat.
Yep.
The very first year they were here, they were called West Nipissing Alouettes.
The Alouettes, yep.
Yeah. And now they're established and doing very well.
Yeah, and so you got to watch that throughout the entire course of it. And then the last team that we haven't talked about yet, the North York Renegades. I mean, obviously ownership. I mean, Joey is a great guy. I've had many, many conversations with him. They've had a professional hockey player as the coach for many years now. That's Daryl Lloyd, who's one of the best coaches in the league,
absolutely,
in my opinion.
Absolutely.
I mean, is there anything that specific you'd like to say about the North York Renegades franchise as we head into the Nationals?
I would. I remember I went to a Bradford Bulls game earlier in the season. They were playing the Renegades. And I remember looking over to my partner, Ken Girard. He's commissioner.
Yep.
And saying that Renegades team, they play a good defensive system. They're going to be hard to score against. And you can tell a team with good coaching, someone that's played a high level himself as a coach. But that team has both. They have high level hockey people involved and a good businessman involved.
Yeah.
You put that together, you've got a real good organization. And they've been good for years. They haven't gone this far in a few years. I don't think they've ever gone this far in the playoffs, but they always were right there.
Yeah,
they always had a good team and a good record. So, no, I think that team, because of their coaching, because of their ownership with Joey, I think they're going to go a long way here. And it's when you have a one game final championship game, anyone can win it.
Anything can
happen. Temiscaming got beat out earlier on, but that team in their own barn, they're going to be really hard to beat, and that's a beautiful facility they have there, and they're going to be. I think any one of the teams can win it, and I'm hoping that all the games are fairly close, so that it is a real good championship match.
And I think it will be a really good tournament too. I mean, speaking about Temiscaming, I mean, even though they did get swept by the Rattlers, that last game that they had went to overtime. Like, they can take the Rattlers team to overtime in Bradford. And, you know, at their home rink, when they've got juice behind them, who knows what could happen at that point.
What I was told is some of their players couldn't go on some of the road trips. They have some students.
Yep.
And that's my understanding. And so sometimes when they're on road trips, they didn't have their full bench. But at home they do. And that team was very hard to beat in their own rink. And they would have been hard to beat anywhere if they had their full lineup.
So, 100%.
We're not underestimating that team. All the owners know that Temiskaming can be right there.
You have been expanding over the course of the last few years, and obviously the one team that's already been announced for this upcoming season is Le Bacard Santerre.
You can pronounce it. I can.
I'm hoping that's how you pronounce it. I asked Marc-Andre from Ville-Marie, and he said that was pretty close.
Yeah, good for you.
Is there anything else that you might have in the works that maybe you'd want to announce or, you know, chat about that you know, maybe region-wise that you're looking?
Well, what I can say is there's three or four prospective owners right now discussing having a new team with us. But what we got to do, I don't know if you remember, JR, but about 7 years ago, we expanded. We brought in 9 new teams in one season.
Yeah.
And it really hurt the league. We made a big mistake there, and it depleted the skill level. A lot of teams were upset with that. I didn't blame them. I look back now and I thought growth would be good, but no, you can't grow at any means. You know, you really have to watch, is it a person that knows hockey? Is it a good businessman? Does the guy have the financial worthiness to get through a season, even if he's struggling? We really look at all these things now because we're not in a position we need to grow anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe out west, stronger teams and stronger locations and stronger owners. Out east, we've had interest. We really would like to have a true national championship at some point where we have the whole country represented in terms of geography.
Like Atlantic Canada included.
Yes.
Yep.
And we've talked to people out there, and there's existing teams out there that have had conversations with us, but nothing I can announce yet.
Nope.
This year we're pretty solid on what we're going to start with, and there'll be information coming as we grow.
Well, and I know that one word, at least from my perspective of you, that you've always taken into how you operate is integrity. And so you operate with integrity. And so, you know, any expansion that you might want to have, and it's only been about maybe one, maximum two teams per season for the last few years.
Yeah.
I mean, you're doing it the right way now. You don't want to expedite the process just to say
That's
that
right.
you have more teams.
That's true. We've learned from our mistakes. We've had our ups and downs over the years. We can't say we're a new league anymore, so people understand our mistakes. No, now we're established enough that we have to do things right most of the time, and fortunately I think it has been going that way for a while now.
And now this weekend, national championship, Russell Cup's going to be handed out.
Yeah.
As always, I assume that Mr. Bob Russell is going to be handing that out on Sunday afternoon.
Yes. Yeah, I'll be there for sure. I've done that every season, and I'm really happy to go up there, and that facility in Temiskaming is electric for these championship games, especially if Temiskaming's involved.
It's going to be wild.
Yeah, it's going to be wild, and we'll just see how that goes. I know it's going to go well, and I'm looking forward to it, Jer.
And anybody that can make it up to Temiskaming, I mean, the Titans are playing in the evening games on all 3 days, but they have afternoon-based games starting at 5 p.m. on the days as well. And so if you can make it up there, like Bob said, the building is going to be electric. There's going to be so much support. I know that North York Renegades are going to be bussing up fans from Toronto area, and so it's going to be a wild atmosphere. Bob, was there anything else you wanted to add?
No, just what you said, JR. If anyone can have the opportunity to get up there, please do. I think you'll enjoy it. You're going to see some good hockey talent, the best of our league, the best our league has to offer anyway.
Yep.
And I think you'll enjoy it.
All right, everybody, you heard it from the president himself. You're going to enjoy your time if you head up to Temiskaming this weekend. I'm obviously going to be there getting some content for the podcast. Bob's going to be there handing out the Russell Cup to the champion of the league, the national champion for the first time in league history. Bob, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. It's been a real pleasure.
JR, thanks a lot. And you've been doing a great job this year, by the way.
Thank you very much, buddy.
Enjoy your show.
Thank you so much for coming on, Bob. It was a pleasure to be able to sit down with you just days before the national championship, and it's going to be awesome to see you hand out the Russell Cup to whoever wins the national championship this season. Once again, I wanted to thank everybody who listened, who subscribed, who listens on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to your podcasts. It's been an awesome season. I'm going to be giving you a few more updates
as we prepare for the offseason. We're going to be talking about announcements, commitments. We're going to have a couple more guests on the podcast. But for now, enjoy the national championship. As always, the games will be streamed live on gmhl.tv. Have a great night and a great national championship weekend.